Hey, Amanda, pass me the cheese dip.
Here you go, Bill. Gosh, Mike, those Cheetos and crusted duck confit on a stick that you brought are awesome.
Thanks. I can share that recipe with you.
Cool.
Wow, this is such a great dinner party.
But I'm having fun.
Yeah. But did we forget to invite anyone?
I feel like, let's see, we got Bill and Crystal. Uh-oh. We didn't tell Brian.
Dun, dun, dun. That's right. It's a Pop-matic podcast without Brian.
Can we do it without Brian?
I think we can.
Okay.
But we're inviting you, our dear listeners. And let's see, that's Jay, Craig, Allison.
Sue, don't forget Sue.
There's at least five. Can't remember the fifth. But we want you all to join us at the table instead. And since we're having dinner, this podcast is all about food. Cookbooks, movies with food, maybe even we'll share our favorite local restaurants when we don't want to cook. But first, introductions are a must at every dinner party, so let's introduce ourselves.
Amanda's here.
And I'm Crystal.
Mike's here as well.
This is Bill.
And Clint is here.
Indeed.
With post-puppet traumatic disorder.
Post-puppet fatigue.
That sounds serious.
It is serious.
Well, before we move on, we need to let you know what's coming up here at the library, Post-Puppet Fest.
Yay, puppets. Okay, so coming up, not in July, because it's too hot to be outside in July, but in August, when it's 1 degree cooler, we are going to go back to having our concerts in the courtyard. And the first one, get your calendar out, because the first one is going to be on Tuesday, August 13th, and it starts at 11:45 to 1 o'clock. Now, the best part about this is that we don't know who's coming yet. So you get to come and enjoy it, and it'll be like a grab bag. Like, it might be sometimes we have Riders in the Sky. Sometimes the puppets might come back. You don't know. It could be anybody. So join us on Tuesday, August 13th for our first concert in the courtyard. And I'm sure that we'll have the lineup posted by August.
So. You know, I heard Brian practicing kazoo. I wonder if he's going to play the kazoo at, like, the first
I would definitely
show.
Come see that. That would be awesome. Yeah,
indeed. Bill, what else is going on coming up?
Well, it's a little early, but it's worth talking about. Movies at Main will be showing on Saturday, August 10th at 2 p.m., a free screening of Stony Island, a forgotten gem from the 1970s about an up-and-coming rhythm and blues band working hard to realize their dream. The movie was filmed on location in Chicago, that toddling town. And this unique screening is going to happen because director Andrew Davis gave us permission for a one-time showing of the movie. Andrew Davis has also directed The Fugitive, Holes, Under Siege, and The Package. So mark your calendar for Saturday, August 10th at 2:30 to see Stony Island. And keep your ears open for our Legends of Film podcast for our interview with Andrew Davis coming soon.
Indeed, and that's actually Bill and Clint's interview.
And I've made a slight mistake. It's Saturday, August 10th at 2, not 2:30. Apologize.
Well, I just want to say that you were saying Andrew Davis, and for some reason in my head went to Andrew Dice Clay. So I'm not really sure how I got those two mixed up, but that could be fun, too.
That would be something completely different.
It would be, yeah. So.
Well, that's a great film to show in Music City. So, Bill, thanks for making that happen. It's time to move on to our
dessert.
Theme. Yes, dessert.
Yes.
No, actually, we're ready for the main course, and that's cookbooks. So, Mike, word around the building is that you're an excellent chef. Do you have a cookbook that you'd recommend?
Why, sure. Normally this wouldn't
come to mind, like, normally. I put that up front because I'm not a mom. But as a cataloger, I get to see about a third of all the books that we get. So, like, you know, I get to – so much romance. So much romance.
I like romance.
What is the percentage of romance in our collection?
I want to say 40%.
Wow.
It sure does feel like that. I've been enjoying looking through the cookbooks that we get and making notes if they have stuff that's easy to make, because I'm not, you know, I'm good, but I'm not great.
You're Cheetos.
Well, not with that attitude.
Oh, I'll only be great in my heart. And so I saw, when I was working down there, the $5 Mom One Dish Dinners cookbook, which is based on a blog. And this is I believe the second or third book that she's written. This one's devoted strictly to one dish dinners, which is definitely in my wheelhouse, because cooking side dishes just takes forever.
So by one dish dinners, do you mean casseroles?
So many casseroles.
Nice.
And
stews and soups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much one dish, whatever can fit in it, you're cooking it.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's a lot of it. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I forgot to bookmark my favorite recipe, but it involves macaroni shells and ground beef and other things. Spices.
Cheese?
Probably
yes,
cheese. Some kind of Campbell's soup, I would imagine.
Oh, it is delish. I made it 3 or 4 times, and I recommend they say getting the small shells, which you should, because I've gotten the medium shells, and they're just too big. So small shells, very good. You put in the skillet. Only takes like 20 minutes to make, really. And I also should have a warning that it says $5 dinner. Well, you know, depends.
And change.
You know. Yeah, because, you know, a pound of ground round is like $4. So, like, you know, it's a little, you know, you can't really squeeze that much in the extra dollar. But, you know, keep it in mind. But, yeah.
And you heard it here first, folks. Small shells.
Small shells.
Not the mediums, too big. We're looking for small.
No bow tie pasta?
That's the fancy stuff.
That pushes us over the $5 mark.
It's interesting to me how many cookbooks started as food blogs. So that's cool that the one that you mentioned was a blogger first and published the cookbook. All right. Well, Amanda, we all know that working with you that you're a fabulous baker.
In my free time.
So I know you're probably going to have a great cookbook to recommend as well.
I do have a good one. It's probably not one that I can cook a lot of things out of because it's pretty fancy. It's called Come In, We're Closed, An Invitation to Staff Meals at the World's Best Restaurants. And I actually found this when I was just upstairs browsing in nonfiction, and it was on their new section that they have up there. And I was like, okay, that could come home with me. And I didn't even realize it was a cookbook at the time. I just thought it was stories about all these big fancy restaurants in the world. And they have what's called staff meal, which is like when the cooks come in and they prep all their food and get all their stuff ready, then they sit down to eat before they serve everybody else. So it's usually about 4:00 or 4:30, depending on when their service starts. So that was the coolest part about this book, was just the stories about all these. And I've heard of like 2 or 3 of these restaurants, but it was really interesting to see kind of how they work as a staff as opposed to just throwing everybody in. And there were a couple recipes. There was a donut recipe that I might try. And there was a peanut butter cup recipe that had some kind of fancy ingredient. But in looking through these recipes as I was reading, it must be nice to have, you know, a high-end restaurant, because then you get high-end restaurant stuff. Like, you have high-end restaurant gear, and you can, you know, vacuum seal food and boil it in a pot. But the creepy part about staff meals is that they just use leftovers for the staff.
Ew.
So, like, say you get, you know, you have chicken. So then, like, the customers get the nice, you know, juicy white meat and all the good cuts, and you get, like, chicken beaks and fried chicken feet. There was actually a recipe for fried chicken feet. And, like, fish collars, which are, like, the face of the fish. And I'm not sure that's partially why I would have trouble with some of these recipes, because I'm not, A, touching it or B, eating it. But there were some that looked good. So if nothing else, the Come In, We're Closed is good because of the stories, and then you can just kind of go past the scary stuff. But I did like my cookbook because it has good pictures, because I have issues with cookbooks that don't have pictures, because I'm a decent chef. I'm a cook. I'm not a chef. And I can't picture food in my head. So if I can see what it's supposed to look like, I can get there. But if I have to make it up for myself, we just have to wing it a little bit. So
I'm curious, were there any Tennessee or Nashville restaurants?
There were not. I think there was one. I think there was one in maybe Atlanta, and I think there was one or two in Chicago, and those were the closest ones to us. That might have been one in Carolina. I can't remember. But yeah, nobody in Tennessee.
So I'm not the greatest cook, but I keep reading these cookbooks in the hope that some skills will rub off on me. And I've come across a recently published cookbook I'd like to recommend to y'all. And it has roots in my home state of Kentucky by way of a Korean-American chef originally from Brooklyn. His name's Edward Lee, and he's a classically trained chef, and he owns Louisville, Kentucky's restaurant 610 Magnolia. And the name of his cookbook is Smoke and Pickles. In the preface, Lee talks about the parallels between the Korean dishes of his family and the Southern cuisine that he's grown to love and incorporate into his kitchen. And this is a great quote I'm going to share with you. From the sizzling Korean grills of my childhood to the barbecue culture that permeates the South, smoke is the intersection that connects my two worlds. Now, Lee, who incidentally loves the music of Johnny Cash, he embraces Kentucky-centric and Southern ingredients such as buttermilk, which, have y'all ever drank buttermilk?
I can't get it past my nose. I've cooked with it, but I have never...
I accidentally put it in my coffee a couple weeks ago.
In your coffee?
That was one of the worst tastes ever.
That'll wake you up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 4 years old, and I'd never drank a glass of
buttermilk.
What was that?
What was that? Did you have a little stutter right there?
Yeah. One of the
But I just had my first glass of buttermilk last week, and I quite liked it. But back to Lee's cookbook. So he uses buttermilk, sorghum, and, of course, being in Kentucky, bourbon. And he incorporates those into his culinary creations. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the pickles portion of this book. Lee includes several kimchi recipes, but my favorite pickle recipe included is the bourbon pickled jalapenos. Now, let me tell you, they're going to make you jump up and slap your granny.
Is that a Kentucky saying?
That's right. That's right. So our bellies are full, and it's time to kick back and relax. Now, Bill, what movie are we going to watch tonight?
Well, to eat good food is to be close to God. This is a quote from the character Primo, played by Stanley Tucci in the independent movie Big Night. This 1996 movie deals with so many subjects: family, the risk of Americanization, style over substance, and how a business can destroy independent thought. Oh yeah, you'll want to eat Italian food after viewing this movie. Big Night stars Stanley Tucci, who also co-wrote and co-directed the movie with Campbell Scott. The movie takes place in 1950s on the New Jersey shore. It deals with one brother, Secondando, played by Tucci, and who is a businessman, and the other brother, Primo, played by the great Tony Shalhoub. I'm pretty sure that's right, Tony Shalhoub, famous for the television show Monk. The character Primo is a brilliant chef, but a temperamental perfectionist, and the both of them are trying to make a go of it in America with their restaurant simply called The Paradise. The movie is truly great comedy drama. It was one of those movies that came out of nowhere and became an art house sensation. The supporting cast is stellar. It stars Ian Holm, Mark Anthony, Minnie Driver, Isabella Rossellini, Liev Schreiber, Allison Janney, and Campbell Scott. So what else can I say about it except check it out?
Cool. So do you remember specific dishes they may have served?
Well, I looked a few of them up on the internet, and they were just the stuff that Primo was cooking. It was just the most outrageous, delicious stuff you'd ever seen. So, but not right off the top of my head, unfortunately.
No fish faces or chicken feet.
Yeah, nothing
or
like that.
The fun stuff.
Or Cheeto encrusted
duck confit on a
stick.
That's probably pretty good if we ever ponied up the dough to make it.
I've had some good Italian meals in Nashville. and now I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Sole Mio. Yeah, that's it.
Did you have to sing the song?
No, thank you.
That should be a rule. If you're going to die in there, you should have to, like, stand in a gondolier and, like, sing the song.
Indeed.
So, in addition to Bill's movie, I would just like to mention two films that we have here. The first one I actually saw, I kept seeing it come in the delivery, and it's called Mostly Martha. And it's actually a German film, and it's in German, about a young lady who, I can't remember the exact storyline, it's been too long since I watched it, who's trying to work at a restaurant, and her, you know, she kind of has a love triangle with her boss, and she ends up having to take care of her niece, I believe, like her sister passes away for some unexpected reason. But it's a really good movie, and it's not too sappy. Sometimes they get a little bit teary-eyed. So I liked that one, and I was watching it. And then there was a movie that came out a couple years ago with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Aaron Eckhart called No Reservations, and I thought, oh, that looks good. I should watch that. And so I was sitting down watching it, and I was like, man, this story seems familiar. What is going on? And so then I was looking. I finally figured out that it was, oh, man, this is just an American remake of this German film that I had already seen. So feel free to check out Mostly Martha and No Reservations, and you can compare and contrast. I actually think the German version was better than the Americanized version. And I don't know if that's because I don't like Aaron Eckhart that well or what, but I like the original better. So it was shocking and exciting.
Cool.
Well, I also have a website called Man Tested Recipes at mantestedrecipes.com. Tagline, recipes for men. It's so manly that the background is black with flames.
Yes.
And half of the side dishes have meat in them, which, you know, I was like, what should I have with my steak? It's like, oh, I can make, like, you know, mashed potatoes with ground beef in it.
With bacon.
That makes sense, you know. And I was kind of surprised that I looked at the front of it today and they had mint mojito coffee ice cream. I was like, that's not for men. And then I scrolled down. It's like, oh, wait. Then they have...
With bacon?
Yeah, I guess I should have clicked on it. They may have, like, had some secret, you know, deep fried part. But then I scrolled down, and then there's strawberry ice cream that's made using liquid nitrogen.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
I don't know where I'm going to find liquid nitrogen, but I love strawberry ice cream and wanton destruction.
Just go to your evil villain supply store and you'll be all set.
Yeah.
You get the big, like, plastic gloves that go clear down to your elbows and the goggles.
The goggles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can put up my hair like that. And,
I'm picturing Dr. Horrible.
I know, right? We get the freeze ray.
The fellow at the Radio Shack said I was mad. Who's mad now?
I have strawberry ice cream.
And they have categories like man favorites and, you know, grilling and the steakhouse and game day, all that kind of stuff. And
tea cookies.
I missed out on that section. The tea party section I missed out on. And I've made two-step garlic pork chops from there, which is good, although I would recommend that to use six instead of four pork chops. More than the four that they recommend because it makes a lot of sauce. It's like... too much. It uses garlic mushroom soup.
Real men eat sauce.
Yes, and fry it.
That's right. In liquid nitrogen.
Put more bacon in it. Liquid nitrogen. Cool. Hydrochloric acid. And it also calls for couscous.
That's fancy.
I'd make half of what they recommend because I had so much couscous the first time, I got tired of couscous.
So you need to double your pork chops, but cut your couscous.
Yeah. Instead of couscous, just make couscous.
There you go.
Everything.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll pan out.
You have good leftovers, but not 4 weeks of leftovers.
Oh, crazy amounts.
Nightmares of puppets. Eating couscous. Trying to stuff couscous in your face.
Mad scientist puppet.
Yes. Well, did we want to pitch any of our favorite local restaurants now? I know we've talked about the dog of Nashville before.
Well, as for me, I go there every Saturday. Of course, it's Ted's Montana Grill. Mm-hmm. You know, and
they have pickles.
They have pickles, really good pickle called half sours. They serve them before you eat. And, I've eaten several set things there. It's always good. Waiters are friendly. Of course, they know me by my first name there.
They do.
Hey, Bill. It's like I'm going to the bar. They go, well, we know that. So, so So being a regular and burgers and right now I'm with the chopped salad and they always have a different soup every night. And I've had them all and highly recommend them all. So that's my restaurant located across from Centennial Park. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact street address, but they've got a terrific website. So you can go look there.
Indeed. Mike, do you have a go-to restaurant?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind is that there was one that opened up near me in Bellevue. It's called, I believe it's E. Her Way. And it's like a kind of a Chinese bistro.
Nice.
And I went there on Memorial Day to try it out. Because I have a general Zoe's addiction that cannot be sated. And it being near like 5 minutes from my house, oh.
The hotter the better.
Oh. And it was outstanding. So I've been there twice now. Have to return.
Awesome.
I should try other things in the menu, but the general Zoe's.
If you find a favorite, stick with it. I'm in. I can't believe I'm going to say this because I never thought I would eat it, but my fiance and I go to a sushi restaurant out in Lenox Village called Sushi Me. I told him when we started dating, I said, I'm not going to eat. I said, I'll pretty much do anything but sushi. He's like, oh, you don't want to eat sushi? I love sushi. We should do sushi. So he got me to eat sushi. And I will admit, I do not do the raw fish sushi. Like, I do, like, the crab and the
crunchy shrimp.
Yeah, and anything with avocado and, you know, so I'm not really crazy. But it is pretty good. And we go there every other week or so. So they kind of, hey, how, you know, it's not quite as much as Bill's, but they do recognize us when we go in there. And it's pretty, I have gotten into, though, the tempura ice cream.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Yeah, and they put sprinkles on. Like, you get it with tempura ice cream, with whipped cream and hot fudge, and, like, chocolate sauce and hot fudge, chocolate sauce and sprinkles.
Nice.
And that's very delightful. So, if I don't have to eat raw fish, at least I get fried ice cream.
So now, we normally feature a segment called Tickle My Fancy. But we have decided to kick things up a notch with a segment we're calling Things About Working with Brian That Baffle Us. So why don't we start with you, Amanda?
Okay, well, in pondering Brian and his illustrious career at Nashville Public Library, the thing about him that baffles me most is his love for Reese Witherspoon movies. Now, Brian loves all things local, so it's not completely shocking. But he doesn't like her art films. He likes things like Legally Blonde, which I think is totally awesome. But it's shocking because when he comes into the podcast, all we get from Brian is like crazy Japanese horror manga films. And like, I don't even understand those, so I can't make a comment about them here. But then, like, the softer side of Brian, you know, likes Legally Blonde, and I'm trying to think of another. What was the one she did with Alabama?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes you just need a little rom-com in your life to come down from the, you know, crazy Japanese murdering zombie people.
He does have that shrine at his desk.
I know, and it's pink with the sparklies and like the little matching purse for Bruiser. I know. Mm-hmm. So I just want the world to know all sides of Brian.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, he does support the local artists, and you know, Reese Witherspoon is a Nashvillian.
Sure. So of course, related to his Reese Witherspoon obsession, now don't get me wrong, I like cats. But Brian just won't stop talking about his cat. I mean, seriously, Clint has to edit at least 30 minutes of Brian's cat chatter out of each podcast.
I mean, he likes doing it, though.
It's just like the stereotypical librarian, isn't it?
He needs the glasses with, like, the chain hanging from it, too, to fully complement the outfit.
And that jean jacket that he wears, it's often covered in cat hair, people, just so you know.
I had not noticed that. I'm going to have to look next time.
That's right. Mike, you have anything to add to the bafflement?
Well, I'm new up here, you know, entering the light of days. strange and unusual for me.
That's right.
So, you know, I don't know Brian quite as well as everybody else. Well, my mind goes to the last time I was here when I accidentally mentioned Linux near him, or Unix, or whatever. And
some computer thing.
Got some, like, 10-minute, you know, interesting lecture.
There were finger quotes on that.
Don't fall into that vortex.
You know, I went to a happy place and
danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
La 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 la. Yes.
I only understand every other word when he says stuff. Like, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's what I said a couple times to get through the. And then I woke up 10 minutes later. I was like, oh yeah, we got the podcast.
Oh
to
yeah.
Did I miss it? What?
Dun, dun, oh, dun, dun, dun. Bill, do you have anything to share with?
For a person who I rely on to help me, and he knows how to work the Nook and the Kindle and every ebook contraption and Twitter and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. Why can't he turn the fan off at night?
No, he just can't seem to find that
he's
on gonna, and off
switch. As my grandmother used to say, burn the house down, or he's going to burn the library down. But we came back from Thanksgiving, and there had been, you know, for like 2 days.
Refreshing
the fan. It's the one thing he hasn't mastered that yet.
Well, but see, like the Kindle and the Nook, they have an automatic off switch if you leave it on too long, like an iron. So we just need to install that in our fan, and then we'll be all set.
Set. And also, one other thing, if he had been here today and talked, he would have found a Philip K. Dick cookbook to talk about.
Yes!
do real androids don't eat sushi or something, you know. Right. So,
it would have liquid nitrogen in it, too. That would be awesome.
I have fixations, too, but I try not. But every podcast, there is a Philip K. Dick reference.
Do androids dream of electronic cheap recipes?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, but we're making lamb.
So,
with bacon.
Real
Very
androids
insightful.
Don't eat sushi or
I think we should
we should
trademark that and like make our own cookbooks.
Very insightful indeed.
But what Philip K. Dick would probably had mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms on his.
Yeah.
Yes.
That might be interesting now that I mentioned
that. Might help
it.
Our cookbook. Our cookbook just got better.
At least those fish heads go down easier.
But I'm telling you, chicken feet, fish heads, and psychedelic mushrooms, that's all you need. Maybe a little cilantro.
And the Cheeto.
And the Cheeto.
Confit on a
and
stick.
And we'll put it on a stick, and everything makes everything better. Yeah. And maybe some funnel cake, because that
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Small shells.
And small shells. So we just recapped our podcast for you. Thank you for listening.
Nice callback.
Callback is
the best.
That's right.
Indeed. Clint, do you care to share anything?
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
If it would, it would just be completely mean. And
we're not going to go there. But we love you, Brian, and we look forward to your return, I'm sure as our five listeners do, for the next episode of Popmatic Podcast.
I'm not sure about Sue. I don't think she's a big Brian fan, but
no,
four for five is not too bad.
That's true. So, this is the end of our Popmatic Podcast dinner party without Brian. Brian, the babe they called Brian. He grew. He grew up to be, yes, he grew up to be. So, for more information, please visit
www.library.gov.
Org.
You are so close.
It's org.
It's org.
Org. Sorry. Just
Google it.
Google it. You get the sound.
That's right.
Bang it or Google it. What product?
Goodbye.
So long.
Bon appetit.
Oh, yeah.
As Hannibal says.
That's from Julia Child. She said that first.
I like cuisine.
I like cuisine.